these guys that are going to come have all come from different walks of life. I've never really asked, but there's probably at least 100 to 200 years represented here in a drug addiction with all of us. Some of us are younger. Some of us are a little bit older. But God's got his hand upon these guys' life. And one of the great things that God allows us to do is to go into churches and just sing. You know, we have a little saying, if you don't sing good, just sing loud. And today you're going to be blessed by good singing. These guys are anointed of the Lord, and they're just going to minister to you in song. And Daryl is the choir director. We, a few months ago, hired Daryl as the full-time choir director. And Daryl has done a great thing with the guys, and they're in the midst of recording their first CD that we feel God is going to allow us to use to minister and just have a great time with it. And just before they share, I just wanted to share a real quick update. God's doing a great thing. A lot of us from maybe the outside have heard of Bible colleges being bridal colleges, correct? I heard a yes in the back somewhere. Well, I don't know why God is doing this, but there's an anointing of marriage over the ministry right now. Yesterday, one of our staff members, his name is Paul Harnett. He's obviously not with us. He got married yesterday. And, you know, he's 45, I think he is. First time ever married, 45 years old. And he goes to a fellowship down in Horseshoe Bay that is very messianic. And it was a very messianic wedding yesterday, which was just amazing to see the different ways that different people decide to get married. And there's three other guys next year. We have a wedding in May, we have a wedding in June, and then we have a wedding in July, all staff, not students, staff. And so it's just been amazing to see what God is doing in the lives of not only the students, but in the staff. You know, currently we're in three locations with our Yarrow Center and then the Men's Center that we have in the Okanagan, which is in Winfield. And then many times the Ladies' Center has been here to the church and has shared testimonies. And God's just doing an overall great thing in not only the ministry of Teen Challenge, but here at West Coast Christian Fellowship. You know, God's doing a good thing right now. And people would say, you know, where's God? Where's God? He's right here. He's in the midst of us. The Bible tells us that he inhabits the praises of his people. And we know as we began to enter into worship today that the Lord began to show up and began to minister to our hearts. And it's my prayer that today as the guys sing and share testimony that you would open your hearts just to receive. Just to receive whatever God would have you to receive today. And so before they sing, I want to just pray for them and I just ask that you join your hearts in prayer today. Father, again, we come to you in Jesus' name, thanking you for who you are. Lord, you're so good to us. You are an awesome God. You are a faithful Father. And Lord, I pray for these men as they begin to sing that, Lord, you would anoint their voices. Lord, that you would anoint the music here today. Lord, it's in your anointing that lives are changed. Lord, it's in your kavod, in your presence, in your glory, that minds are transformed. Lord, strongholds in people's minds are broken in the name of Jesus. Lord, those weights, those burdens that those of us have carried in here today, Lord, I pray that there would be a time at the altar where we would do business with you. And that, Father, that we would leave here differently than the way we came in. And so, Father, again, we give you thanks for your love and your faithfulness to each of us in this room. So, Jesus, be glorified through this time now, in your name. Amen. The things that we really encourage is worship. When we first started the ministry, we didn't have the resources that we do today with the different styles of worship. But it's been amazing to see how when we have embraced worship and the fact that we were created to worship, and then we've endeavored to learn what that is all about. And we've had times where we won't allow any musical instruments in the chapel. You just have to learn how to worship the Lord without anything. It's just with your voice, or a couple of the guys, they dance, you know, undignified before the Lord like King David did. And it's just amazing to see the change in the atmosphere, because there is something that happens in a service with worship. There is an atmosphere that is created for the presence of God. And it's amazing, over the past couple of years, really the past 3 years, out of the 5 years that we as a men's center in Yarrow have kind of been there, for the past 3 years have been tremendous growth. And I really believe is because of the ministry of worship that is in our house, with the different guys that are there, with Daryl that leads worship, and Jason, another young man that's not there today, or not here today. And it's just been amazing what God has done. And we're just so thankful for Him and His presence in our midst, because there's something amazing about the presence of God. Today, you're going to hear a few of the guys share what God has done in their life. And we never want to go into a service and glorify our past. We don't like talking about our past, because our past is our past. We heard a little while ago that the past owns the past. We don't own the past anymore. And yes, we have to at times remember where we've come from, but the past isn't ours anymore. You know, God has dealt with that. Like He says in the Word, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And so today, you're really not going to hear a lot about the past. You probably all know why we're here, because at one point in time in our lives, we struggled in addiction, whether it was with drugs or with alcohol. But really, we stand before you new creations. We're new people, and we want to focus on what God is doing now, not what He not what was happening in the past of our lives. but what's going on right now? And so I'm going to call Trevor, young Trevor. Trevor is being prepared for the office of evangelist. Seriously, we have embraced and are learning to embrace that God has given us the word. And we believe that many churches are struggling nowadays is because they've not embraced the fivefold ministry. When you study Ephesians and there's in the fourth chapter, there's a fivefold ministry. And one of those gifts that God has given to us through Jesus was the gift of evangelism. And young Trevor has that gift. It's been amazing when the guys have come down. We come down every Tuesday night to Maine and Hastings. And not to I don't want to, you know, put a spotlight on Trevor. But Trevor and a couple other guys have led over 30 people to the Lord since they've come to Teen Challenge. And 30 people to the Lord, and sometimes that's more than most pastors will lead to the Lord. And so young Trevor is just going to share about what God's been doing in his life for the next couple of moments. So welcome, Trevor, as he shares a little bit about what God's been doing.
Well, it's so great to come here. It's just awesome. I just want to pray really short here quickly. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. Lord, forgive me the strength, Lord, because you know that I cannot do it on my own strength, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Well, I just want to thank Dave for coming out every month faithfully. It's just such a blessing to see your name on the calendar when you're coming out. It's just awesome. I thank you for coming out. Well, I've been in Teen Challenge for almost a year now, and it's just been great. And I don't want to talk much about my past, but my past was pretty bad, and I was in addiction for 5 years, and I got out of it. And I just want to tell you a short testimony. I put my parents through crap. I stole from them, all that stuff that goes with addiction. I stole from them, and I lied to them and stuff like that. But I want to tell you a short testimony. My dad hasn't. I led my dad to the Lord a couple months ago. Praise God. And he's still really not going to church, but he's still a little baby. But he drives a dump truck, and he's been praying for me for 4 years for me to get saved, and for me to not get saved, but for me to get better. And he's praying for me constantly, every day. He wakes up in the dump truck. Sometimes he goes to work crying. He went to work crying and stuff, and wondering what's his son doing and how is he going to get out of it and stuff like that. So he was praying to God for 4 years, and then the Lord answered his prayer and bring me into Teen Challenge. And it's just I have the veil has left my eyes, and now I can see, and I have great brothers, like a bunch of brothers now that don't lie to me, and they don't steal my money, and they don't hurt me anymore. And I just trust the Lord with all my heart, and I just thank you for everything what the Lord has been doing in my life. It's just, and being in Teen Challenge is bringing my family closer, and it's just so many cool things that are going on. And this lifestyle is way more. If anyone knows anyone who's in addiction, just don't give up. Don't give up on praying. Just keep on praying and praying and praying, because God will answer. There's no reason why, if anyone else is in addiction, there's no reason why you can't set anyone else free from their addiction. So I just thank you for letting me share. I'm a little nervous, but it's all good. Amen. Or actually, one thing. I got a scripture here I want to say. Okay, it's Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit and despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a solid rock and seated me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Trevor is over the past few months has really struggled with his reading and with his schoolwork, but it has been amazing to see the persistence and the perseverance in Trevor, and for him to stand up here and open up his Bible and read in front of 100 plus people. that can be a tough thing to do. But yet God is doing a great work in Trevor and his entire family. His father, Ted, is just the biggest softy that you'll ever meet. But he has such a tender heart. And as he's growing in the Lord, like Trevor said, he's new in Christ. And, you know, there are things that are in his life that, you know, will sometimes maybe keep him from going to church. But it's amazing, on Sunday nights he'll sometimes come to church with the guys in Langley where they attend on Sunday nights. And it's just been amazing to see the restoration and the reconciliation that God has been doing in Trevor's life with his mom and with his dad and with his cousin. And with even when he goes on passes, he goes back and is with his family while he's on pass. And the ministry opportunities, the divine appointments that God is giving him, where he can share the love of Christ with people that he once used to hang out with in addiction. And so it's just amazing to see what God has done in Trevor. This time I want to call up Jason to come and share what God's been doing in his life.
Thank you. My name is Jason. I'm 26. And really nervous for some reason. I'm sitting there and I could feel the heat coming up my neck. And I'm just like, what's up with that heat thing? What is that? Anyway, I really felt like, for me right now, the biggest thing in my life is God is showing me about relationships and how a real relationship that is centered on Christ can really stand the test, right? It can really handle a lot. And something that happened to me when I was very young, and, you know, I didn't have a relationship with either one of my parents. They were very, very, they were into their own lifestyle. They did their own thing, and they were very consumed with themselves, and probably because of the way they were raised and stuff like that. But after I was saved and baptized when I was about 10, the enemy really attacked my family. My mom got very sick with MS, and my dad, he was already an alcoholic, so he started to struggle even more. And he's a truck driver too. And I think there's something about the solitude of being a truck driver that really, I don't know what it is, but he prayed for me and all those years and stuff like that. But those broken relationships, those things that I never had before, they cause a lot of problems. And I looked for something my whole life. I was always crying out for something. And I prayed. I prayed when I was little. I was so lonely, and I prayed and I prayed. And when my dad would get angry and I'd get punished or whatever. And I just cry and I pray to God. But when I was about 14, I started drinking and doing drugs. It was pretty slow escalation until I was about 18. And I had joined the army, and for some reason I had really low self-esteem. And then for some reason that whole lifestyle changed, like that whole military sort of attitude kind of gave me a lot of pride, and all of a sudden I had all this confidence, and I started to do drugs, and with no fear I just did anything I wanted, and the violence, like I just started getting into a lot of fights and stuff like that, and I couldn't see where I was going, and God tried to reach out to me, and through that whole time I was always looking for a relationship. I was always looking for a girlfriend. You know, it seemed like it was always a relationship with a girl that I was trying to fill that missing void from my mother, and nothing could meet my needs. And I finally hit bottom when I was 22, and I came out here, and I struggled for a while here too, and then finally I went back to church for the first time, and I met God in a powerful way. I had a revelation. I had a revelation of the cross. I had a revelation of his suffering and what that meant, and it grabbed a hold of my heart. And it took a while for me to get to Teen Challenge. It took about 3 years, but I'm here in Teen Challenge now, and I have real relationships with people centered on Christ. And I'm not perfect, and I have issues and stuff like that, but slowly but surely, He's showing me how everything is going to be good. Everything's going to be okay. I can trust as long as my life is centered on Him. And I'm just going to share a scripture with you quickly that's kind of a theme for me. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So, thank you for letting me share. Bless you.
Glad I don't have to talk in that one. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having this beautiful church. Man, this is an awesome church. I have something to read out first. All right. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. All right. I had to read that out because my story is hard to say. My early childhood was sexual abuse and physical and mental abuse. Now, God is awesome because I've came out of that triumphant. My teenage years were pretty much the same except for no sexual abuse because I was getting a little bit stronger. I'm a farm boy and I got taught at a very young age, when in doubt, you knock it out. And I'm glad that I don't have to live like that anymore. My teenage years were pretty harsh because I had no father figure. I just had a provider. And my mother was a very, very loving lady, but covered with denial because she came from the same background as I. My dad had no dad, so he didn't know what to do with me. So they put me in military schools and academies and stuff, and I was pretty good at getting kicked out. You know, like, I broke every rule. I was really good at it. You know, I excelled in sports. Nobody really shined any light on me except for God, because I was raised Catholic. There's another strike. You know? And I didn't have a relationship with God. I had a relationship with a priest that I would tell him what things were going on in my life. And I formed an analogy when I was really young that I guess he's going to have a better chair in heaven than I will, so what's the point? You know, I'll just take second best, and I didn't agree upon that, so I left the church and tried throwing me back into church because it was Catholic school I was going to, French school, and I never understood the concept of French people. They group together, they do their things, they believe in Christ, but in a different version and stuff, and there's always these classes that they had that were called moral. I don't know how to say it in English, but it's where people would go talk about Christ, their Savior. And I always used to kind of get kicked out of class to go sit by the side of the door and stand there and listen to what these people were saying. And it was happy. You know, they were more open. They weren't, you're a sinner. You did this, you did bad. It was more like, God loves you. And I struggled all through my early teenage years to find an identity, which I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was. I had no idea what my purpose in life was. And it was hard. It was very hard. I lived a dark life where I retaliated a lot. I spent a year in jail when I was really young. I was 17 years old when I did a first year bit. And that's because I chose to let the darkness prevail over me. I didn't choose. I knew what the concept of right and wrong was, but I didn't listen to it at all. I liked doing dark things, and I found myself getting dragged into crowds where nobody really loved you, but they made you realize that you weren't much in life. And I started realizing, man, this is like my childhood. You know, it's not good. It doesn't feel good at all. And my parents had to save me because thank you, Jesus, for saving my life so many times. For He knows me. I've been shot a few times. I've been stabbed a lot of times. I have scars that are mental, that are going away, that are slowly melting away, and physical, which don't mean much. Since I've been in Teen Challenge, the Lord has taken a lot of things from me that I don't need. Pain, anger, anguish, jealousy, and all that stuff. And I'm here today to testify that God is great. He's amazing. From a kid that didn't have much in life except for just a glimpse hope of maybe making it somewhere, somehow, some way, to a person, to a young man. I'm 30, actually, and I was told so many times I wouldn't make it to 30 years old. So many times. Beyond belief, you won't make it. And, you know, I was a fighter. I'm still a fighter. Now I'm a fighter for God. Like, I'll go down the streets in Vancouver when I'm ready. I'm not ready. I'm fresh in the program. I'm only in my fourth month. And but I lived down there for a year, dying, decaying, letting my soul being taken by anybody that wanted it. And now I'm back. I'm back to save people. I'm back to help them. Back to tell them that God is in my life. And you guys can have them too and all that stuff. And you know, it's all great. It's amazing. Now I'm flailing because I don't know why. But I got the Holy Spirit going on here. Thank you so much for this church. This is a beautiful church. It's got to be old, isn't it? This reminds me of my barn when I was a kid. Like, anyway, thank you so much for letting us come here. Let me talk, and thank you so much.
Good morning. My name's Ryan. I just turned 23 last month. I'm nervous too, so anyway, I think of my old life, and I think of wrestling, like a tag team match where two guys got one guy cornered, and they're kicking him and stomping him in the corner, and his partner is over in the corner, and he's got his hand out, and he's, come on, come over here, and as soon as that guy gets over there and tags that guy's hand, he gets in there, and he takes him out, kicks him, throws him out of the ring, does whatever. And that was kind of God in my life. I let the enemy just beat me in a corner and just take everything. And not that I didn't give it to him, but you know, once I gave it to him, he kept it, and he beat me in the corner pretty bad. And then I brought God into my life, and I just asked him to come in. He was there waiting. As soon as I did that, the darkness fled, and I'm just so happy for that. He's brought me to a new arena now. It's got nothing to do with wrestling. It's serving, and I'm so happy to serve someone who loves me instead of somebody who hates me. I just, you know, I wake up in the morning and it wasn't, I got to get something to eat, or what am I going to do today? I know what I'm going to do. I know that everything's provided, and that's because of God. That's it in a nutshell. So, I came from Saskatchewan, moved to Calgary, and I've been to BC a couple times, and then now this is the longest I've ever stayed out here. I didn't realize how beautiful it was out here, because every time I've come out here, it's been involved with drugs or something. I'm not paying attention to what's going on. But I'm glad that now I can enjoy God's creation, and that I know it's God's creation. You know, before in my life, I was one of those people that thought that we evolved, that we came from some slime or something, or I wasn't really sure. I was just kind of in denial, and that's believing a lie that the enemy told me all the time. You know, this is just a big rock floating around that just happened to be, and So praise the Lord, for He is good. My guitar story. You know, my family. Nobody just ends up in Teen Challenge by fluke. You know, my grandma was praying, my mom was praying, and I was sitting in jail, and you know, there was a big decision. The judge could have locked me up for a long time. And my family was praying. My mother, my grandma, my extended family, aunts, uncles, everybody was praying. And I believe that God ordained me to come to Teen Challenge. One day, one of my mom's friends just showed up at the door, and she had the Teen Challenge information in her hand. And she's like, here, you know, I'll give this to you because I know your son is struggling and whatever else. And my mom brought this to the judge, and the judge said, you know what, I'm going to think about it. You know, come back in a week. So I came back in a week, and the judge said, you know what, you're going to go. You're going to do your whole year there, and, you know, and then you can come back to court, and we'll talk about it then. And I was kind of like, oh, you know, well, I got to go do this thing. I didn't know that it was Christian-based. And I show up in the door, and I just, something, you could just feel it. When you walk into the building there, you can just feel the love there. You know, you don't have to hide behind anything, and you know, that just helps people to grow so much that, you know, you can't grow when you're hiding. And, well, the guitar story is my grandma, she sent me some money, and she's to buy a guitar, and I went with Daryl the other day and bought a guitar. So I'm learning, and I'm learning so fast about how to, you know, how to play the guitar and just, you know, how it works. Yeah, so that's the guitar. Oh, okay, my... nervous, I can't think. Yeah, my goal, what I thought when I got it is I was like, there was a family reunion in July, beginning of July, and my grandma said, you know, so many people have fallen away. They know about me. They know that I was, like, to them, evil. I did a lot of bad things. So much bad stuff. Anyways, so I thought, you know, by the time next year this reunion rolls around, I could, you know, learn how to play a few songs, like, you know, To the River or Come Now is the Time, and just that my family could see me. You know, Jesus brought me out of this. And that, you know, see me praising the Lord from my heart. See me just happy to be alive for Jesus. And then, you know, by your salvation, your household will be saved also. I also, Psalm 119, 105 is, your word is like a light unto my path, or a lamp to my path, a light unto my feet. And you know, I base my life on what it says in the word now. If it's in the Bible, Sean said someone told him this. If it's in the Bible, I believe it, and that's final. And that's the way I'm going to live my life for the rest of my life. Thank you.
Well, hello everyone. I'm Chad, and I'm 25 years old. And I guess my testimony is that everybody has a testimony, and I kind of just got a revelation today, and revelations are great because that's how I get stronger in Christ. And so when I came into this church this morning, it was an empty room, and it was really just an empty place. And I've been reading this book, and it says, the King's kingdom is an empty place without the King. And so, basically, 2,000 years ago, Christ died for all of us. And he rose again, and his spirit came. And we all have a spirit in us. And for some reason, we all have a testimony, whatever troubles we all went through. We've all come to this place to gather together, and we all have a spirit. And it's just great that we can all gather together. We've all we all come to this place, and we fill this room full of Jesus Christ. And it's great to have everybody and to be here to be able to speak. And so my testimony is that around the age of 13, I started to experiment with drugs and alcohol. And that's due to, I think my dad was the biggest influence. He was an alcoholic, and it got sort of passed down that way. I said when I was younger that I wouldn't drink and I wouldn't do drugs, but because they were always partying and stuff, I decided that I couldn't really trust my parents, that they were saying don't drink, don't do drugs, but I couldn't trust them because that they were doing that, and so it was a trust issue for me. So I found friends, and I felt rejected from my parents, so I found these friends and guys out on the street, they're smoking, and they want to be my friend, they want to hang out, and And so I found love that way, and it was a desire. All I wanted was to be loved. And I hadn't been told about Jesus yet. I hadn't been told about that he was God's son and that God sent him to earth to die for my sins, and that he loved me so much, and that's why he died for me. And it's progressive revelation. I see it through all the time, through crowds of people worshiping. I can look out and I can see people worshiping, and I can say, you know what, I know why Jesus died for us, because in a sense I would do it too. Think about how many people in the world that he's set free from bondages of shame and guilt from sins and stuff, and just the smiles that he saves so many hundreds of thousands of people, and it's just an ongoing thing. So God was great, and he knew what he was doing when he did that for us. Since coming to Teen Challenge, the first day I walked in there, I was broken. I was a mess. I was addicted to drugs, and I had about $400 a day habit. Somewhere in the range of that, I could easily spend more, and sometimes just right down to the last penny, last dollar, $5 or whatever. And so I was broken, and I was addicted, and I couldn't stop. And I needed that for myself to cover the pain and the stuff that I was trying to cover up, just the lostness, the brokenness. And I got to Teen Challenge, and I talked to Sean, and he told me his testimony, and his testimony sounded like mine. He came from the same background, the same sort of feelings of rejection, and he said that Jesus loved me, and I accepted it. I said, it was slowly over a period of time, but I'm with 25 other guys who have all accepted it as well. It was a choice to accept it. And so what I did was he asked me if I wanted to, if I believed in God. And I believed in God since I was young. And I made the choice to verbally say it, because there's something that happens when you speak it out and you say to somebody, you know what, Jesus is God and he does love me. And that's when the healing started to take place. And that day I felt, that's how I gained my salvation, and I get to go to heaven. And that's a little side thing that's great, but being the King's son is probably the biggest thing, and just being forgiven of sins, and it's a whole new perspective on life, and it's just been amazing for me. So I did that, and I felt the greatest thing ever, and which is just my spirits were so high since that day. Everything, like one of the guys was saying, there's no darkness that can live now. I still struggle. I still have my times when things from my past affect my daily walk. But it's truly, I'm a different person, because I never wanted to reach out. I couldn't accept people's love, and I couldn't love other people. And so it's great to be free. It's great to be a new creation in Jesus. That's my testimony.
Hi there. My name is Josh, and I just turned 20 years old. And I'm not here to preach on my past and tell you how many bad things that I've done and all the rubbish that I put my parents through and stuff, you know. I'm here to praise the Lord and acknowledge that he is powerful and that he is real. You know, I remember when I was stuck in my addiction, and I was with my girlfriend in her basement, and, you know, and I was just crying, you know. I'm like telling her how much I hate this lifestyle. I hate it. I hate hurting these people all around me. And, you know, I just started crying. I just started calling out to the Lord. And I was reading the Bible the other day, and this comes from Psalm 118, and it totally just slapped me in the face and brought me back to that day. It said, "In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free." So Teen Challenge really just influences the love of God in our lives. And, you know, I've been here for a short while, and the love that I've absorbed through this program is just amazing. You know, I just absorbed so much love that I just want to explode and exude this love on each and every one of you. So I pray that each and every one of you are touched by these testimonies. We're not being paid. We're not just like, we're not. This is real. You know, this is real. Like, nobody could pay me enough money to stand in the church to preach my life out. So I don't have really much to say. I just I came out of drug addiction. I came to Teen Challenge with an obedient heart. And I came to a Teen Challenge with an obedient heart, but with still the selfish pride inside of me. I just wanted to get rid of my drug addiction and then go back to the streets and sell drugs and make money for myself. But the Lord, he just said, no, no way. That's not what's gonna happen. You're gonna change your life, and you're gonna lead others to the Lord. You're gonna lead others to the Lord and just help those who are stuck in the same problem that I and maybe some of the rest of you that are stuck in as well. So I mean, I can only thank the Lord for bringing me here and for having you guys accept us as who we are, as real people. We're not drug addicts anymore. We are soldiers of God. And we're here to we're here to praise the Lord. So I'm just going to say a short prayer, and I think that'll be it. So, Lord God, I just thank you for putting us on your throne, Lord. I thank you so much for filling this place with your presence, Lord. I thank you for the beautiful worship team that you've assembled, Lord, for this church. I pray that you bless each and every one of these people in this congregation. I pray that you just lift them up and spiral them in your love, Lord God. And I pray that if there's any walls or any mountains in front of them, Lord, that you just have them leap over it and continue to run in your narrow path. Lord God, because you've made a 180 in my life, and I've just taken off from that evil world of darkness. Jump back into your narrow path, Lord God. I thank you so much for the love that these people show. I can just feel it in this place, Lord God. And I just pray that you just take away the nervousness that's shaking in my bones right now. So, Lord God, I thank you for everything you've done in my life and in my brother's life and each and every one of these people's lives here, Lord God. In your precious name, amen. So,
good morning, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. Well, just like Josh said there, how he was in his girlfriend's basement crying out to the Lord, except that was in my basement. And I'm Psalm 116, it was 118. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. This God of ours is full of compassion. And that's all it takes, is just calling out to him, you know. He's faithful. It's neat how I can sing in the choir and on Sundays in churches, and I've been in Teen Challenge. I'm in my 11th month right now, so about 11 and a half months ago, it was smoking or sniffing or popping or drinking, you know, kind of whatever just came around. But now I'm in churches singing and praising the Lord. It's only the Lord can do that. But, you know, the Lord is so good, and he's just everything that that we need him to be. I'm kind of stumped here for. I started doing drugs when I was about 16. I think it was maybe when I was at home, it was like my dad was like, "How come you haven't made your bed yet?" Or, "Yeah, your shoes are over here," and I just didn't really feel like the attention or what I needed at home, kind of thing. But when I was with my friends, they all looked up to me, and they're you know, giving me high fives and stuff. So it was kind of like an escape to go hang out with my friends. I didn't really want to be at home because it was either this, I was doing this thing wrong or that thing wrong. And then once drugs came along, it was drugs I was going to. And then it was fun it says sin is fun for a season, and who knows how long that season is. For me, it wasn't too long, but for about 2 or 3 years, it was just wrestling, like Ryan said, you know, in and out, and just trying to do it on my own. And it wasn't until I called unto the Lord, He brought me to this place of reconciliation and kind of get me back together and mold me. Another verse here is awesome. Is, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. You guys are lovely, and you have an awesome church. That Amazing Grace, we sang Amazing Grace. It's been a while since I've sang that song as a group, but it was awesome. Eh? It was fun. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for your hard work coming out and your church here. We make it possible, you know. I guess the Lord doesn't need us, but He just loves us and He wants to just use us and just bless us and get us to do something for Him so He can just bless us some more. And He's real. Thank you.
Well, we have 5 minutes left, and you know, if you really allowed us, we could probably be here till next week, just sharing what God has done. And you know what? The great thing about all of us here together is, and I don't know who said it, but one of the guys said it, maybe Trevor or Jason, but all of us have a story to tell. You know, a testimony is an amazing thing. It is a witness. It's sometimes rendered as the word witness. And, you know, the testimony of Jesus in our lives is the spirit of prophecies. The book of Revelation tells us that. And as you begin to share your testimony, you literally begin to prophesy the Lord Jesus over somebody's life. You know, there have been testimonies talked about restoration, reconciliation, and you know, there's testimonies how God has healed bodies, how He has released people from bondages and strongholds in their minds. And there has been, you know, ministry to you today through that. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. The stories that we have aren't really ours. They're His stories. You know, what He does in people's lives. And, you know, I am so thankful for this church. And I wanted to share a portion of Scripture found in the book of Acts. And I've shared this a couple of or maybe just once with us at our center. It's in Acts chapter 4. And if you study the book of Acts and you look at something very significant, you'll find in this portion of Scripture in verse 32 to 37 of Acts chapter 4 that generosity creates an environment for revival. And now I'm not talking about generosity, you know, as you lay your hundreds or your fifties or your twenties in the offering bucket or box. I'm talking about the generosity that comes from a heart that is so in love with God. And it's something, it's just blown my mind as you begin to study and look that generosity creates an environment for revival. And so in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection." Gave witness. Interesting. They gave witness. They testified to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And in an amazing time in our generation right now where we live in an individualistic mindset. Where, and even in marriages, not just society, but even in marriages, what is mine, and what is yours. And here's the line, do not cross it. And even in churches, we can attend, at times be like that. Okay, we are West Coast Christian Fellowship. We are Broadway Church. We are Glad Tidings. We are whatever. Here's the line, and don't cross it. And it's amazing when you study that portion of Scripture, right at the beginning, it says, now the multitude here in this room, of those who believed, and I'm sure that there's a high percentage of those who believe in this room, were of one heart and of one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Now, if you really think about that, could you imagine what our lives would really look like if we mirrored what the passage is talking about? And I believe that there is a day coming where the church is going to break. And there will become a unity like we've never seen before. Because of the pressures of this world are ever increasing. The pressures of daily living, the pressures of marriage, the pressures of raising a family, the pressures of whatever it is that we have in our lives, they're mounting more and more every single day. The pressures in our lives are even mounting when we watch the news and what's going on over in Israel or over in Iraq or wherever it is. That, what is going on there, has a profound effect on how we even live our daily lives. You look at the prices of gas, you look at the prices of oil, you look at the prices of many different things. And there is, I believe in my heart, I totally believe this in my heart, where there is a time coming where the church will totally break and we will become like the early church. We will have no other option but to become like the early church, where the multitude was of one heart and of one soul and had everything in common. And we do in many ways. We have the Lord Jesus as a common denominator in our lives. But yet, there are so many of us that are very individualistic. And I believe that there is a breaking that will come. There is going to be a time that comes in our churches, specifically in North America, I believe with all my heart, where we're going to see the power of God like we've never seen before. We're only beginning to see the hand of God. But I believe that as we are living in the days that we're living, we are going to see an ever-increasing hand of God upon our lives and upon our churches. And God is raising up men like you've heard today to be the voice, to be the prophets. The prophets were the voice of God. They were the seers of God. They saw before anybody else saw. And I believe that in our midst, there are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, there are pastors, there are teachers. And we need the fivefold ministry to function today in the day and age that we live in. And so I want to pray as we close in just a blessing. And I don't know if I can do this, but that one song that you sang, Daryl and I were rocking to it. Do you have the song list? Yeah, that one. Can we close with that song? Okay. I've never heard that song before, but there's something very powerful about that song. And as soon as I got the mic, they say that when you got the mic, you were in control. So maybe I have control issues that I have to deal with still. But my wife tells me I do. Pray for my wife. My wife is an amazing woman. She's obviously not here today, but she's pregnant. We're just over three months pregnant. She's really struggling with her health. And for many women, you know what it's like to have your first child, and there's constant nausea. And that's where she's at. So if you can remember to pray for my wife, Jamie, that would help us a lot, because it's amazing what women go through. We don't realize as men what women go through. And so I'm praying, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Because a lot of us as men, when our wives are going through things, the first thing is we want to do is this. We want to run away from them. Right? We say, get away from me. And so I'm asking the Lord to give me an understanding heart so that I can love her and encourage her through this time. But sometimes I'm telling you, I don't feel good. Man, you know what I'm talking about. those of you that are fathers. And so pray for my wife, Jamie. She's an amazing woman, and I thank God every day for her because she truly is a blessing and a gift in my life. And those of us who are married as men, he who finds a wife finds a great, the Bible says good, but we find a great thing with our wives. And so let me pray for you. Lord, I want to thank you so much for this day. And again, Lord, I thank you for every single individual. But not only, Lord, are we individuals. Lord, we're a body. Lord, we're your body and you are the head. And I know that this church has learned and talked about that over the past few months, that we are the body and you are the head. And Lord, I thank you that you love us so much. Lord, the word tells us that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And Lord, it also tells us that there is nothing that will ever separate us from the love of God. And so, Father, as we come to a close, I pray for those who maybe are weary and heavy laden today. Lord, I pray that they would just feel a strong sense to come up to the front and receive prayer. Lord, what's wrong with receiving prayer? There's nothing wrong with coming and being encouraged. And Lord, I want to just thank you that you hear those of us who pray, that you hear the cry and the longing of our hearts, Lord. You're not a distant God. You're not a God that is deaf. But Lord, you are a God who is very alive and very active in your children's lives. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for this church. I pray a blessing. Lord, I pray that the tent pegs of this congregation would continually increase. Or that this church would be a lighthouse that would continually affect this neighborhood. And not only this neighborhood, but this entire city. Lord, I thank you for West Coast Christian Fellowship. Lord, I thank you for the patriarchs of this church. Thank you for Bob Birch. Lord, thank you for all the leaders in this church that, Lord, have done a great thing here with you as their leader and their guide. And so, Father, we acknowledge those that have gone before us, that have in many ways paved the way for us that are here today in this room. And so, Father, we pray your blessing upon this house, this day. We pray your peace upon this house, your shalom. And so, Father, we give you thanks again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Dave.
Thank you, Sean. And thank you, all of you men who shared your stories. I know that's sharing some personal stuff from your hearts, but it's a blessing to us to hear what God has done in your life and encourage us in His great power in our lives. We'd like to give our monthly missions offering towards Teen Challenge Ministry. If I could ask the ushers come, and the worship team, if you guys want to come. I'm glad Sean requested that song. That's great. We'll close with that. Also want to just say that Teen Challenge is a one-year program, and there is a center here in Yarrow with the men. There's one across the highway with the women. There's another center in Kelowna. And Marilyn, who previously ran the women's center, is opening up another women's center in Calgary. So Canada will now have two women's centers. Isn't that great? And Teen Challenge receives no government funding. So we want to give, and may the Lord bless you. Let's stand together. We're going to worship, and we're going to close with this song.
Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burdens down. So much better since I laid my burden down. I feel like shouting, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. I feel like shouting, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down.
feel like shouting, hallelujah, since I lay my burden down. I feel like shouting, hallelujah, since I lay my burden down. Burden down, Lord, burden down, Lord, since I lay my burden down. Burden down, Lord, burden down, Lord, since I lay my burden down. I am climbing Jacob's ladder since I lay my burden down. I am climbing Jacob's ladder since I lay my burden down. And every round goes high and higher since I lay my burden down. Every round goes higher and higher since I lay my burden down. I'm going home to be with Jesus since I lay my burden down. I'm going home to be with Jesus since I lay my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I lay my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I lay my burden down.
Amen. Don't walk out of here with a burden either. You got to lay it down, give it to Jesus, and let Him show you the way. Amen? Amen? You know, if you're here this morning and you came in heavy, I just encourage you to leave light. Whatever that burden is, do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, present your request to God. There's a prayer team afterwards. I just want to encourage you to come. Let someone share that with you. Just pray for you, bless you, send you on your way. So if you want to be prayed for, come afterwards. There's lunch downstairs. And there's two ways that you can go to the front of the line and not wait in line. One, you're over 65. You just budge. Two, you find somebody with a red shirt and take him with you. All right? So if you're talking to somebody in a red shirt, don't make them stand in the back and talk and talk. Just grab their hand, take them downstairs, and feed them, okay? All right. May God bless you and keep you and fill you with His joy. God bless you all.
We'll sing.